This is Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. The state's largest community college network says enrollment is down. The Maricopa Community College District said this week that lower enrollment numbers due to COVID-19 in the fall seem to be continuing into the upcoming spring semester. The community college serving La Paz and Yuma counties has also seen a drop in enrollment. Arizona Western College President Dr. Daniel Kaur says what's happening in the Phoenix metro area is mirrored here. I spoke to Dr. Kaur this week following his weekly Facebook Live event, in which he outlined some of the impacts of a decrease in enrollment, including the possibility of layoffs.
It really focused on, we have reached the end of a semester.
Frankly, a semester unlike any other. This marks the end of my 29th year in higher education. I've 30 years under my belt and never once experienced this semester anything like this. But we've made it. And I just wanted to express my appreciation for everyone who took care of our students, took care of each other, took care of this community. Because as I've shared before, the words of others,
this community is desperate for us to succeed in these challenging times. So I just wanted to express my appreciation for everyone's efforts during the challenging semester. And then, you know, I did feel the need to temper that message, that optimism and gratitude with a pretty stark message of our enrollment, which is trending was down in fall, mirroring a trend for all community colleges in Arizona and across the nation, and is trending even further down for the spring and kind of forecasting some fiscal challenges ahead for the college.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was going to ask you, you are someone that I consider sort of, with all due respect, relentlessly positive. When you look at this semester ending, what were the times or moments that you were either most worried or concerned, and what were you concerned about?
Oh, gosh. You know, as always, our concern from the beginning, Lou, has been, we had two interest concerns, whatever you wanted to call it. One was our students' educational achievement, helping them achieve their goals, and keeping our students, faculty, staff, and community safe, right? So it's not one or the other. It's always been both. It had to be both. So those were my concerns throughout the semester. You know, we heard tales of students trying to share a single device in a household, perhaps with younger siblings who were home from high school or elementary school. We heard of students' financial situation changing dramatically as they were laid off from a job or a loved one was laid off from a job. We heard of internet connectivity challenges, just students struggling to adapt to an online or a distance environment. We've all had to pivot. And then from the faculty side, to adapt to a new teaching modality on the fly, and all of us to be able to deliver increased level of services from a distance, whether that's financial aid or advising or tutoring. It's just been both of those. And then, you know, are we keeping each other safe? We heard, periodically of departments being impacted by COVID-19. We've shuttered the Child Development Learning Lab twice because of cases of COVID among staff and students there. So it's been that. It's been a relentless focus on all of our safety, along with trying to get these students who, you know, it's their future. They're struggling. They're scrapping. They're scrambling to showing amazing grit to improve their lot in life, and we have to be there for them. So it's been that, and every day has brought a new challenge that we've had to address with. The environment, the terrain has shifted. Almost constantly. You just look back 2 or 3 months ago, tremendous optimism that we had turned the corner. We were having daily counts of COVID out of Yuma County down in the teens, right? And there was this sense that we had turned a corner and that spring semester might look something closer to normal. We know that that's not going to be the case now. And again, we've dealt with it.
What do you think you or the college learned this year that will impact how higher learning is delivered from now on in our community?
Yeah, that there is a great desire among students for the flexibility. We introduced this concept of blended real time, where half the class would be physically in person and half the class would be Zooming in from a distance. We heard from faculty pretty consistently that a lot of students stopped coming to class, that they felt that they could. They like that flexibility, and in the words of students, as only students can, a student told me that, hey, I don't want to get up and get showered and put makeup on and come to class. It's easier for me to get up 5 minutes before class and Zoom in. So we've learned that convenience and flexibility is valued by our students. We need to make sure that we're also delivering the really intentional support to our students to make sure that flexibility is coupled with ultimately academic success. And we've learned a lot on how we can deliver that support from a distance to our students.
What did we learn about how they engaged with the technology this semester, which may or may not be fair, because with the COVID-19, as you say, sort of up and down and now quite dramatically up, in terms of how they fared, we know enrollment was down going into the semester. Did they stick with it? Did students stick around through the end, do you think? I mean, I know we've got a few weeks left, but...
We're in finals right now. So finals will be completed tomorrow, Thursday of this week. It's our last day. Final grades will be submitted next week, and we'll have a more definitive snapshot. So what I'm hearing now from faculty and students themselves is, our students have shown amazing tenacity to this point. So I suspect that our levels of success will be pretty much on par, if not, maybe a little above a normal semester. Part of that is these are the students who, despite everything that was going on in August, said, I've got to continue with my education, right? So these are highly motivated students. And then I would be remiss if I didn't give a shout out to our faculty, who have been afforded flexibility, maybe with, deadlines or more project-based assessment. They've had to alter how they deliver the course material on the fly, too. And I know that they have a great appreciation for what our students are going through. So, I've heard tales of students with connectivity problem being afforded a different way to show competency in the course, through a more of a portfolio assessment. So we've learned a lot, and we've learned that the key is the fidelity to the course outcomes must be maintained, but how we assess that, there's amazing flexibility in how that's done, and our faculty have risen to that in really many remarkable ways.
The last couple of years have seen the college go on a pretty ambitious strategic planning to figure out how this college will position itself into the future. One of the lessons of that, then, we've talked about in the past, was the technology needs of the college and what it would take to get it up and running. But and then COVID. What did COVID reveal or tell you more about in terms of the infrastructure of technology at EWC?
It tells me that thank goodness we started that process 2 years ago, because it highlighted the need for a solid infrastructure, technology infrastructure. We installed 400 plus cameras to facilitate Zoom instruction over the summer, right? So we had to do this on the fly, and you could only do that if the infrastructure to support that was in place. So this isn't going away, the need to deliver services and instruction from a distance. I think our challenge, Lou, moving forward will be how to balance that flexibility with that high level of support that our students need and deserve, right? How we can be intrusive and unavoidable in our aggressive support of students, tutoring and advising and other things, while providing the flexibility. And technology is one of the pillars of our strategic plan. And if we hadn't started that process 2 years ago, we would not have fared nearly as well this semester as we have.
Maricopa Community College is already talking about enrollment being down next semester. Now, they've had it sort of traditionally dropping enrollment over the last few years from a spike several years back. But is it too early to know for next semester how things are going? I know that we traditionally have sort of a last-minute push here of students.
Yeah, and it's not too early to know, and the I was going to call them early numbers. They're really not early numbers anymore. We'll start construction, a month and 2 days from today. So this morning, and I monitor these figures daily, we're down 26% in spring to spring enrollment. That mirrors the trend that we're seeing at Pima and Maricopa and other community colleges across the state. That will not only put financial pressure on the college, Lou, but think about the lost human capacity to this community, right? We talk about creating thriving communities in our strategic plan through education and transforming lives through education. That amounts to hundreds, that amounts to thousands of students, fewer, enrolled in higher education, which will have long-term ramifications for this community and economic development across the state. So we understand that that's one semester, one year-to-year glimpse, but we really do need to turn this around in pretty short order before some longer-term fiscal and just human capital implications come into play. You know, and we take a look at our K-12 systems, you know, they're experiencing similar difficulties, you know, with high school students kind of disconnecting from the online environment. We're going to be challenged. We're ready for that challenge. But the near-term indicators are not positive.
And this is sort of your area of expertise too. What do we know about students who stop going to college? The difficulty in getting them to restart.
We do know, and the news is not good. So, when a student enrolls full time and maintains full time enrollment, that was the crux of our Yuma promise. They earn degrees at really high levels, right? When you attend part time, they earn degrees at significantly lower levels. And when you attend periodically or sporadically, you know, a semester on, a period off, the results are significantly lower. So, you know, we're making an all-out push. We've got folks calling folks to say, hey, you're enrolled for fall and you've done it. You've made it across the finish line. Come on back for spring. Continue that momentum. We're here for you. So we've made a big pitch, including the Perfect Time campaign that our great marketing folks rolled out that says, now is the perfect time to continue your education or start your education, because it really is all too easy. Once you stop doing something, it's really hard to start it again. So we want folks who are enrolled now to continue to enroll, and that's why we're hoping once finals finish this week, there'll be a big push that say, okay, I made it through finals. Now I can start thinking about spring semester, and it's the perfect time to register.
Our guest today is Dr. Daniel Kaur, president of Arizona Western College. We're talking about higher education in Yuma and La Paz County and about the college's response to COVID-19. I'm Lou Gum. This is Arizona Edition. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Arizona Edition on KAWC. I'm Lou Gum. Our guest today is Dr. Daniel Kaur, president of Arizona Western College. We're talking about the college's navigation of the COVID-19 pandemic and the impact on students and higher learning in our region. Let's talk a little bit about COVID-19. Some U Arizona researchers a few weeks ago made some recommendations to the state about what it ought to do to stem the rising number of cases. And one of the recommendations was that all community college students should be tested for COVID-19 at their request. Is that realistic for AWC? I know there have been a few testing events on campus this semester.
Yeah, it's really not realistic to require and track. We don't have those capabilities to do that. And, you know, and remember we have multiple campuses spanning from San Luis up to Parker. But we have had multiple testing opportunities here on campus, including partnering with ASU and the Yuma County Health Department for the saliva-based testing, which was really a huge event, very popular. You know, hundreds of folks tested, and we'll continue to partner in that way, including this really exciting partnership with the University of Arizona for wastewater testing, particularly out of our residence halls. You know, that's an area of high risk. Obviously, because you know, just they're living communally in some ways. So we are partnering with the University of Arizona for daily testing of that wastewater. And what it will be able to tell us is if one of the residence halls, someone who used the facilities, we assume a resident has tested positive for COVID, and we can take immediate action. So. Some really creative partnerships, some I think really aggressive partnerships, including temperature checks for residence halls and members of athletic teams and other protocols that we have in place for the spring. But you move beyond that, we're an open campus. Obviously, there's not one entry or exit that folks come on campus. You know, they come from many parking lots and multiple entry points. So we're trying to be just as aggressive as we can. That's still feasible.
How do you calculate your approach now? Because there's so much sort of positive news about a vaccine, and yet the things that you need to do to keep the college community safe require some planning ahead of time for next semester. How do you make the call? Do you just go with an abundance of caution and see how things go, or how do you calculate the risk?
Yeah, great question. Though here's been our approach, because there is such shifting thoughts or opinions. Our gold standard has been, so there's no confusion, and I said this way back in March, is we will follow CDC guidelines, right? So you hear this group has this guideline, or the state says this, or the county says that, or this professional organization suggests this. That can get really confusing. And frankly, just following CDC guidelines can be confusing because they shift over time. But, the great staff that we have that follow that regularly, and that's been our gold standard. So we will continue to adhere to CDC guidelines. And that way you eliminate any potential politicalization of guidelines or anything else. And I think CDC has shown, to use your term, an abundance of caution, and I'm comfortable with that. So we will continue to adhere to CDC guidelines. So there's no confusion of it's, you know, CORE has this opinion, or, you know, the Ducey has that opinion, or Biden has this opinion. CDC guideline will guide the college moving forward. And you referenced the vaccines. I do have tremendous optimism that you know, with the vaccine coming either late this year or very early next year, we can begin to turn the corner and get back to some of the things that we cherish as a college community. Nursing pinning was going to be tomorrow. We can't have that ceremony, and that's a shame to those nurses who work so hard. And I want nothing more than to be on that stage in May at graduation, handing the diploma to those grads. But if CDC doesn't think we can do that safely in May, we won't do it. But if CDC does think we can do that safely and has certain protocols that we need to follow to do it safely, that's exactly what we're going to do.
I appreciate your time. I wanted to ask you quickly about the plan for sports next semester. I had heard that they were going to try to fit a lot of sports into next semester. Can you update us on that?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have seven sports teams that compete as part of the NCAA. We will have some are fall sports, some are spring sports. They're all spring sports this year. So all seven teams are scheduled to compete. We have a relatively full schedule, similar to what we would have in a normal sports season, a little pared down. All teams in Arizona, all teams in our conference are participating, and there's some pretty strict protocols that we're going to follow to keep our team safe. Now, if you're a fan of college football or even pro football, you see that despite some really best efforts, not all the games are happening, that there are a number of games that have been canceled. I hope we can avoid that. Again, we will have the safety of our student athletes at the forefront. And I hope we can compete a full schedule, because that's what those athletes want to do. And we take great joy in watching them do it. So all seven teams, relatively full schedule and some really strict protocols in place. And we hope to keep everyone safe and have successful seasons across the board.
And finally, based on just what we talked about earlier in this interview, I wanted to give you a minute to maybe address those prospective students or students who've thought maybe they should back off a little bit from their college attainment this semester. Take a moment. Why should they register for next semester?
I will absolutely take advantage of that. Thank you for the question, Lou. To those students who are wondering, is it safe to come back? Is this something that I should do, something that I should continue? Invest in yourself, pursue your education, pursue your career dreams, because the college is ready. We have the experience, the modalities, the flexibility that you need to successfully complete your academic goals. And we will do so in a manner that keeps your safety and the safety of the faculty at the forefront. So it's not either or. It's not pursue your education or keep yourself safe. We've got protocols in place, and it's the perfect time to come in and get yourself registered and pursue your educational goal, whether it's CTE, a short-term certificate to enter into the workforce, or earning a baccalaureate degree. It's the perfect time to get yourself registered. The scholarship season out of our Arizona Western College Foundation is about to open. And yeah, there are scholarships, there's financial aid, there's people to help you walk you through the process. That's what we do. And we'd love to see you on campus.
All right, Dr. Daniel Corr, president of Arizona Western College. As usual, it's a great day to be
a Matador. It absolutely is a great day to be a Matador. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Corr. Dr. Daniel Corr is president of Arizona Western College. Registration is open now for both the winter and spring sessions for classes. That's Arizona Edition for this week. I'm Lou Gum. Thanks for listening.